What a day already. You know, as we go through life, a lot of times we experience things and we wonder, how in the world are we going to get through this? You know, as we face uncertain times, as we face even just the reality of our own humanity, of our own mortality, as we go through all kinds of trials and issues, and just that come along with being part of living in a fallen world, a lot of times we find ourselves asking, how in the world am I going to make it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to endure? How am I going to get through this? And the only thing in all, and you know, just my short life of living, the only thing I've ever come up with that ever helps me to get through the darkest days, the hardest times, the most fallen of the fallenness is that Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming. You know, as a preacher, there are certain things that are just going to happen. There are certain, no matter how good a sermon is, no matter how well you do or how many people you talk to or anything, you know what? Sunday's always coming. You get done today and guess what? I'm going to be thinking about this afternoon. Sunday's coming. No matter what I go through during the week, I know one thing. I better be ready because Sunday's coming. No matter what comes up in my life, no matter what kind of distractions, no matter how tired I get, no matter how sick I am, no matter what happens, I know one thing. I know that Sunday is coming. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus endured a day like no other day. He woke up that morning knowing that it was unlike any other day. He woke up from all accounts, we know that he was dreading that day. It was the day that he would be handed over to those who would try him on trumped up charges, on those who would lie about what he said and what he did and who he was. And he would be humiliated in front of everyone that he had ever known. And he stood firm and did exactly what he knew to do, what he was born to do, what he came to do, and he was able to do that because it was only Friday and Sunday was coming. And as that day wore on, Jesus was betrayed. And when other men would have ran, when other men would have lashed out, when other men would have buckled under the pressure, he stood in the face of those accusations and he knew it was only Friday and Sunday was coming. The trial happened. The crowd said, "Give us Barabbas." A criminal was released, and our Lord was further detained, and he knew that it was only Friday, and Sunday was coming. And then they started beating him. They stripped him down to next to nothing, and they hit him with leather cords, with bone and rock and metal at the ends, and they tore the flesh away from his back, and as he fell onto the ground, as they struck him with their fists, as they spit on him, he endured all of that, knowing it was only Friday, and Sunday was coming. They walked him through the streets, as the song says, in shame. They spit on him some more. He fell under the weight of the cross member of that instrument of death. And as he was face down in the street, he mustered all the strength that he had to get up one more time and to endure the walk of the cross because he knew it was only Friday. And Sunday was coming. And then they put the nails through his hands. They put the nails in his feet. They hung him on that cross. And he didn't die instantly. And he didn't curse out at them. He didn't say anything in his own defense. He didn't call 10,000 angels. He didn't act on his own behalf. He endured it all. He was thirsty and they gave him nothing. He was in pain and they offered him nothing but more insults. And he endured it all knowing it was only Friday. Sunday was coming. Fact is that Jesus knew something. He wants us to know, not wants us to wish for. Not he knew something that he doesn't want us just to kind of have an idea about and maybe to hope for that it might happen. Jesus knew what he wants us to know, that no matter what happens in our life, it's only Friday, Sunday's coming. Because he knew that whatever do whatever you want to do to me right now. Because I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to come out of this grave. This pain, this betrayal, this heartbreak, this brokenness, all of this will end in just a few short days. And I will be pain-free, regret-free, betrayal-free. I will be perfect with my Father as He is perfect. And He wants us to know that. That's the only way we can endure anything. That's the only way that we can endure what this life has to offer, is knowing that whatever we're at in our life, it's only Friday. And we know Sunday's coming. We know there's a day that we too will be raised from the dead, that we too will see the glory of God descend upon us, that we too will have no more pain, no more sorrow, no tears, no disappointment. We got to know that. Because it changes everything. This morning, there's a saying, TGIF, but not thank God it's Friday. Thank God I'm forgiven. See, I don't think that Jesus woke up that morning and said, oh, thank God it's Friday. Oh, today it's Friday, the end of the work. No, sir. See, the day that he'd been dreading, he was finally upon it. The day that he had sweat drops of blood, the day that he had wept over, that he had cried over, the day, however, that he had prepared for, it was finally there. And for us today, even though that we have those days, not to the extent that our Lord had, not to the extent that Jesus had, but those days where we feel like we just can't do it anymore, we just can't go on, we can't say no any longer, we can't endure what this life has, we can say, thank God, I am forgiven, and there's nothing left for me to do but wait on the Lord. Another saying that on your order of worship, Elvis has left the building. You ever heard that? You know what that, you know, back in the, whatever it was, the 70s or 60s or whatever, when, you know, Elvis Presley was alive and famous, he'd have concerts and people would stay and chant and cheer and carry on. He would come out and do an encore. And he'd go back and they'd stay and chant and cheer and all that. And then they would come over the, you know, and he wouldn't come back for a period of time. And finally over the intercom, you would hear, Elvis has left the building. You know what that meant? You know what it meant when you heard that he was no longer there? It meant that you are free to leave. You're free to leave. You're free. You know, there's nothing holding you back now. There's no more anticipation of him coming back. There's no more. He's not here anymore. So what so whatever you're expecting is not going to happen. You are free to leave. This morning, instead of thinking about Elvis has left the building, think about this. Think about our Lord and Savior crucified on a cross, put into a tomb and sealed up. And then when those go back to tend to his body, hearing those words, Jesus has left this building. Oddly enough, the reaction is still the same. You're free to leave. But free to leave where? Free to leave the grave that they were in. You see, the people that were there, and if you got your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 16. We're going to go there this morning. We're going to talk about no ordinary Easter. It's in Mark 16, 1 through 7-ish, 8-ish. You see, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they're on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were scared. The picture painted for us is people in the tomb. Don't get lost in what happens next just yet. But realize that they had gone to minister to the body of Christ. They had gone to do what it was that was customary and to, you know, prepare the body further for it to stay where it was. And they heard these words: Jesus has left the building. And a side note right there, they didn't stick around in the tomb. They didn't live the rest of their life as though he were dead and still in that tomb. They left to go live a life serving a risen Lord. Not a Lord still in the grave. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, if Jesus was still in the grave, then he doesn't have the power to affect those ultimate circumstances. And if the power exists in the universe through our God to move even our crucified and dead Savior, if he can move that kind of circumstance and change it drastically, then guess what? He can move us and change us also. No one in this room has experienced the ultimate circumstance that is death. So for us this morning, before we go any further, before I make these three very average points about this, the one thing we've got to know is that we are free to leave the tomb of a dead God. We're free to leave. We are expected not to live life as though he were still in that grave, as though there was something more to be seen in the grave, as though there was something that could not be overcome. So many of us live post-Easter like God can't change a circumstance. That God can't do anything about what I'm feeling. That God can't do anything about what's going on. That God can't overcome any of this. And all we have to do is say, Jesus has left the building. You're free to leave. You're free. You understand that he can overcome even the most dire circumstances. So what does that mean for us? As we read Mark 16, we see an example of what happens because of the resurrection. In verse 2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away?" You see, one of the things that we miss a lot of times in reading the resurrection story is the first line, "When the Sabbath was over." You know what that means? That means that church was over. When church was over, when the religious part of my week, when what I prepare for every week and it's coming up and we, you know, I get my shirt ironed and my clothes on and we get all, you know, dolled up and everything else and we go to church, you know, because that's what you do. It's the religious thing to do. It's the traditional thing to do. And the neat thing about this is that after church, they were still concerned with the body of Christ. After church, they were still concerned. There was something to do. And they They just felt it within themselves. Something told them, you know, go and tend to the body of Christ. Now, we don't have the physical body of Christ. They didn't either, but they didn't know it at the time. But we do have the spiritual, unified body of Christ. And one of the things that, the resurrection story always reminds me of is that even after church, be mindful of the body of Christ. Especially after church. Be mindful. Understand that there's a direction to go in order to tend to the body. So they say, but who will roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? They knew that the stone was placed there. Undoubtedly, they had seen it, and they knew that it was there. They knew that they weren't able to do it. And there was this obstacle in their way. Now, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times when I'm doing something ministry-wise, whenever I feel a need to minister to somebody or to go do something on behalf of the body of Christ, a lot of times there will be obstacles, and sometimes those are big obstacles, and they're heavy, or they're cumbersome, or they're hard to deal with, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I think, you know what I'm going to do? I know that this is going to be hard. I'm just going to turn around. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to pray about it a little more. I'm going to, you know, maybe I want to get some, you know, what, there's problems in my way, there, whatever. You know, maybe I'll just go back. Maybe it's not what God wanted me to do. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to wait it out and see what happens. Maybe. But you know what we learn in the resurrection story? We learn that God's grace makes access to His body easy. See, what we perceive as obstacles to getting to the body of Christ. And let me tell you something, it's only through ministering to the body of Christ. It's only through being involved and close to the body of Christ. And when I say body of Christ, look around you. Look around and see, this is what I mean by the body of Christ, the assembling of the saints of our Lord, the communion, the community, all of the relationships that exist in this room and the bringing people in. That's what I mean about the body of Christ. The only way to experience the resurrection is to continually get close to the body. So if the resurrection doesn't change your life, if it doesn't make everything different, if the resurrection doesn't inspire you to live differently, then think, I'm not trying to get close to the body of Christ. And see, in doing so, there's obstacles. There's stones all over the place that are guarding the entrance of that. And instead of stopping, instead of thinking, well, I'll just pray about that. Maybe it'll change. They kept going. It says they. But when they looked up, now we don't know how much time took place between verse 3 and verse 4. Maybe it was instantly. Maybe it was, you know, half a mile. Who knows? But they had the thought, you know what, guys? There's a big rock, and who's going to roll that away? Either way, they didn't leave. Either way, they went about their business. Maybe we'll figure it out when we get there. Maybe they didn't think about that until it was too late. But either way, they find that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. God makes access easy. The question becomes, what's keeping us from experiencing the body of Christ? What's keeping us from experiencing the body of Christ and subsequently experiencing the very real resurrection? What is it? Is it sin? Is it something in your life that just has a hold of you that you think, you know, I just can't be in the presence of God with that in my life? Is it the guilt that comes from that? Is it a weakness that you have? You know, whatever it is it intellect? I don't know enough. I'm not going to be able to be a part of that because I don't know enough about the story or the Bible or whatever it is, but whatever stone that Satan has concocted to put in front of your access to the body of Christ, understand that God can roll that away. God can take whatever it is that blocks our view of the resurrected Lord. He can make it nothing but a memory. The next thing that we have to see is they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. The word there really means they were scared. They were petrified, frozen where they stood. And I love this. You guys have heard me say this before. I shared it this morning at Morning Point. And the most commanded thing in all of Scripture. Don't forget, we're big on commandments. We're big on, tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. We're big on checking it off and saying, I've done this, I've done that. We're big on following the rules. And the most commanded thing in all of Scripture, verse 6, do not be afraid. So you're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. You see, God's grace, the resurrection, eases our fears. The one universal fear we have is the ultimate circumstance that we can't do anything about, and that is the eventual death that we will all experience. And Jesus, and through the resurrection, through the grace of God, through the example of the life and the death and of our Savior, we know there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. And the most commanded thing again shows up here. Do not be afraid. So see the place where they laid him. Look with your own eyes. You see, the problem is that we will encounter things that we never expected. Throughout the course of ministering to and attending to the body of Christ, what will happen is that we will experience little resurrections all through our life as we follow Christ, as we follow the path of ministry, as we try to do something on behalf of the body of Christ. We'll experience little resurrections all over the place. And those are things we just didn't expect, we didn't see coming. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't handle change well. I don't handle things that I just don't expect. And a lot of times that derails that, you know, I'll spend so much time thinking about and trying to explain or trying to justify or whatever. And the opportunity to be awed and amazed passes me by. So just don't be alarmed. Don't allow your emotions to run away with you. Look at the facts here. You see, because when we're scared, we don't know what to do. When we're scared, we don't listen very well, do we? When we experience something that's unexpected in ministry to the body, in a coming close to the body of Christ and experiencing the resurrection, it says, don't be afraid. Look at the facts. Look at what you're dealing with. Listen to what I'm saying. But if we don't discipline our emotions to realize the grandeur of what's going on, then we can miss things like, he is risen. He is not here. You see, because if they can't hear those words, he is risen, and maybe all they hear is he is not here, then maybe all kinds of scenarios can come into play. Well, you know, maybe the body was stolen. Maybe he really wasn't dead. Maybe, you know, we're in the wrong place. All these things, you know, don't we start to rationalize things as we go along because, you know, and then we say, no. I said he is risen. That makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in the world. You see, the problem with us is that we hear only part of the story about God. We hear only part of the story about God, and we leave the tomb, we leave the resurrection experience more afraid than calmed, more scared than inspired, and what we're told, you know, live for Jesus, do what he says, you know. Keep my commandments. Do this and do that. And we say, I can't do that. I can't do all those things. And we reject the resurrection experience altogether simply because we didn't hear the first part. That is, he is risen. God loves you. God is intimately involved in your life. God wants you. He doesn't hate you. He's not mad. He loves you. And the entire life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus is one long proclamation of that. But when we're so overwhelmed by emotions and fear of the Lord, we miss vital information like he's risen. See, he is not here isn't quite as exciting as he is risen. He is not here. See, go and make disciples isn't as exciting as go and make disciples and I will be with you. I will be with you. I mean, who would not want Jesus himself to be with them, to be walking along this life alongside of them and empowering them and giving them strength and all of those things? Anybody would, but we get hung up on the do this and do this and we forget about, and I will be with you. So as soon as we hear the first part, we think, well, I can't do that. There's all these stones in my way. It's vital information. But God eases our fears. And the last thing he says, this angel of the Lord, he said, see the place where he's laid, but go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, the grace of God includes me. You know, from the video that we see that Peter obviously felt excluded from the group. Peter should have known better than to do what he did. I mean, Peter had already been close to Jesus. Peter had already experienced. Peter already knew. You know, he kind of had a picture of how it was going to be. He sort of already had it in his mind and he had it all figured out and he messed it all up. He did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do, even though Peter denied that he would even do it. You have to think about the events that led up to that. Remember Jesus washing the disciples' feet? Remember him coming in and taking a basin of water and washing their feet? And he gets to Peter and he says, you're not washing my feet. So don't wash your feet. You'll have nothing to do with it. Well, then wash my whole body. I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere. I'll do, you know, whatever you ask. That's me. I want you to have everything to do with me, Jesus. And he said, I know you say that now, but you will deny me. No, not me, Lord, not me. I'll never deny you. You ever do something that you swore up and down you just would never do? How does it feel to be in the presence of that person? Don't you feel like that, oh my goodness, there's no hope for this relationship. There's, you know, I don't deserve it. I am not part of the group any longer. And Jesus said, tell the disciples and Peter. Everything about him was beyond our expectation. And from this very statement here, some 2,000 years later, on this Easter morning, can you hear Jesus saying to you, come to me? Not just a blanket invitation to all those in attendance this morning, but your name, specifically on the lips of the risen Lord. Come be a part of my family. To come be a part of me and to be a part of my body and to experience the resurrection no matter what you've done, where you've been, how you have denied him in word and in deed. Go and get my people and the one that thinks he is no longer a part of things. This morning, the resurrection story is about being included in all that Jesus has to offer. It's about not only the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but it's about the resurrection of each one of us, where we are, where we stand or sit, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our sin, our guilt, our weakness, our intellect, regardless of any of those things, the resurrection story says, you are included. Just come to me. Just come be a part. From their arrival in the manger to his life walking the streets of Galilee, to his death on the cross of Golgotha, even in his grave, Jesus was not what we expected. The question is, this Easter morning, can Jesus change your expectations? Can you expect him to come with power into your life and change everything from this moment on? Can the empty tomb be something that you are free to leave. Leave the shadow of the grave. Leave the anticipation of death. Leave all of the fears and worries about anything that could happen, knowing that whatever we encounter, Sunday is coming. This morning, if you want to change, if you want to change your life, if the resurrection, if you want it to mean anything, you can confess Jesus as Lord. You can be counted among His people. Confess His name as Lord and Savior. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and walk free of death. Whatever your need is this morning, would you come and join me up front as together we stand and as we sing.